It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, a final hour of power right here on a Monday afternoon in a rainy nation's capital and perhaps beyond. Lots of rain in and around because of the remnants of the hurricane and everything else in between. Be safe out there. We will certainly try and keep you company on the Odyssey app as well, where we are always live and free 24/7 and on demand. You can listen to every segment of the show. You can listen to every time Jay Gruden joins us, the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals, and our longtime NFL analyst on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, we bring in Jay Gruden with us on the Team 980. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I am doing great. Not better than Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and the Washington Commanders offense, but I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, Jay. You put up some prolific numbers when you were here, going back to December of 2015, a lot of 2016 with Kirk and Deshaun and Pierre and Jordan and so on and so forth, and your play calling. I don't know if any of the numbers exactly match up. I don't think they do. I'm trying to do a little research on that. But do you remember like a 4-game stretch? And really, for me, Jay, it's more of a 2.5-game-ish stretch where an offense has been so electric, so dominant. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
Yeah, it really is. And, not to mention you have a rookie quarterback, but you also have a rookie left tackle, and I think a lot of credit has to go to him. He's doing a hell of a job. But the offensive line in general in the run game has been playing very physical. I think the addition of Zach Ertz and he's done a very good job in the blocking part of it. They have two other tight ends. The rookie's doing a good job. I think this all around the running game has helped out. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is playing amazing out of his mind, but other guys have to be mentioned too because, the offensive line is doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yesterday, if you look, I'm sure you saw this. They had an early third down little pitch toss opportunity. They got Brian Robinson in the flat when kind of it seemed like they were blocking the other way. Then on the Jaden Daniels touchdown run, he had a caravan around the right, and Tyler Biotis, the center, as they're double pulling, is just walling people off. Not Tony Wiley, that was somebody we used to work with. Andrew Wiley on the McNichols on the McNichols touchdown just caves in from the right tackle. You mentioned Coleman, who I didn't even really notice yesterday, and that's a good thing, right? Because when you don't notice somebody, probably means they're doing a solid job and not a bad job. So when you say the offensive line, here's my question. How much does better quarterback processing, speed, getting through reads, play calling, that has a lot to do with it, but not all, of course, all to do with it, correct?
Yeah, well, for sure. You look at that touchdown run by McNichols, and nobody saw the John Bates and Brandon Coleman double team up to the linebacker. I've never seen a defensive tackle get pushed 9 yards down the field by a tight end and a tackle, and then they double teamed up to the mic, which enabled a free run for McNichols. So yeah, a lot of people are doing it, and you also have to mention they're getting a lot of time because Arizona chose about probably 10 to 12, 13 times in that game to only rush three because they're scared of Jaden's running ability. And, you know, they're playing a lot more coverage, which enabled Jaden to stand back there and look over the field and go through progression, and find a guy open. You know, that's what's been most impressive to me is when he doesn't feel rushed, he doesn't run into pressure. You know what I mean? He stays back. He stays poised. He scours the field with his eyes and finds two, three, four progressions on down and makes a throw. You know, some guys, when, you know, everything's kind of not there, they'll scramble around, but he just stays in the pocket where he's at. And when there is pressure, he gets away from it. So I don't know what you do as a defensive coordinator against this guy. Three-man rushes don't work, that's for sure. Four-man rushes aren't working. Five-man rushes definitely aren't working. So he's got the defense by the tail right now.
All right, so I've said this a couple of times, like since last Monday night. I guess we talked Tuesday after the game. But and I didn't see it as much yesterday as I did on Monday night. But I wanted to ask you from a technical standpoint, when a quarterback is making his drop, right, and then he doesn't see whatever he wants to see or needs to see to feel comfortable in letting it go, but then he starts to roll or he starts to move or he starts to scramble, usually, again, to his right, sometimes, I guess, to his left. What's the most important thing when a quarterback starts to move after he doesn't initially see what he needs to see or wants to see? Is it keeping his eyes up? Is it keeping his hips flipped? Is it keeping his feet? Like, how would you describe, like, the most important element to still remaining a passer while on the move?
For me, it's two hands on the ball. You see a lot of guys take the hand off the ball, then they get strip sacked. You know, so you got to keep two hands on the ball, first of all, and then once you find your areas to run, you try to keep your eyes up down the field and try to buy as much time as you can and then become a runner. And I think he's, you know, naturally gifted at that. You know, Arizona State, he's more of a runner first. LSU, he became more of a, I'm going to stay in the pocket and wait for these guys to get open. And I think he's kind of taken that on. Against Tampa Bay, it looked like he kind of looked like a little bit of his Arizona State days where he just took off and ran. But last two or three games, he's been very poised in the pocket. When he has to break contain, his eyes are downfield. He's finding guys. And if not, he just takes off and runs. He's very effective at both. That's what makes him so scary.
Yeah, you pointed out after the Tampa road loss, which was a season opener against Todd Bowles and a seasoned defense, a blitzing defense, you said he kind of reverted back to his errors. I really think, like, people point to the hit he took against the Giants, that he got his wind knocked out, came out for a play, came right back in, and then he had the big second half. I don't know if it was that or if it was just, hey, you know, I played six quarters. I realized I can't run all day. I've got to become, again, the passer first. And largely, that's what he's been. Again, that doesn't mean he doesn't run. Obviously, we saw that yesterday. But passer-first mentality is probably going to keep you healthier because there's more protection in the pocket. Is that a thing, too?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, some guys get hurt in the pocket, some outside. You saw Anthony Richards get hurt on a couple of runs yesterday. So just got to be careful. He's doing a good job. He got outside the pocket and slid nicely. I think he understands that he's not the biggest guy in the world. He can't be taking these big hits. You know, I think if it's a competitive down, third down and eight, he's trying to get 8 yards, he might lower his shoulder to try to get his first down. But for the most part, I think he understands his body and understands how to protect it. I mean, hell, he played 5 years in major college football, didn't get hurt, I don't think. So he's done a pretty good job so far in his career.
Jay Gruden is with us. You can follow him on X at @coach_Jay Gruden. Check out what he's doing for Underdog Fantasy and everything in between. He's all over it. And maybe you can win yourself some money by following Jay Gruden. So let me ask you this. A big thing for me, and I'm curious what you would have done in this spot, yesterday up 24-7, 4th-and-1 at the Arizona 40, midway through the third quarter. Now, 4th-and-1 is very, very makeable. We all know 4th down has become more of an in vogue thing. All understand that. But in that spot up 24-7, DQ goes for it. They run the ball. They get McNichols on a 15-yard run, which is great. But, like, I'm so impressed by the fact that they didn't get conservative and that they didn't just, I don't know, take like a fall, like a delay a game and give Tress 5 extra yards to maybe pooch punt or something like that. I'm so impressed by the fact that they understand, A, they have a leaky defense, and B, like they trust Jaden and this offense seemingly implicitly already at this stage.
Yeah, I agree, and I think a lot has to do with it, the way the game's gone so far. They were running the ball pretty effectively, and Arizona really had no answer in anything that Washington was doing, except for the interception. Jaden just got a little bit greedy on that one. What a terrible throw. He saw Terry, and he just overthrew him a little bit. But for the most part, this line was getting pushed all over the place, and Arizona had no answers. And I think when you feel that, you feel like you own in the line of scrimmage, it makes it kind of easy to go for fourth and one. Hey, we're going to get a yard. We're going to run inside zone. We're going to run outside. We're going to run whatever we want and get it and feel pretty good about it because of the success we've had so far in the game.
And another, I guess, game management thing that I was curious from your perspective on, because I thought it was interesting, not controversial, but just interesting. When Terry scores the touchdown, and it's 33-14 after he scores the touchdown midway through the fourth quarter, or I guess 8.5 minutes left. You're up 33-14. You know, I mean, look, it made all the sense in the world to go for two, Jay, which they did, and they made it, and made it a 21-point game. In that spot, though, I've seen coaches just say, hey, you know what, let's just take the point that's available to us, kick the extra point, and walk away, and it's a 20. They're not going to score three touchdowns in eight, you know, plus minutes. What would you have done in that spot, do you think?
100% go for two. He did the right thing. You never know. Yeah, you kick off and they get a long return, and all of a sudden you're up by two scores, and you're only up 13 as opposed to 14. That's a big point. And I think anytime you have a chance to go up by 21, three touchdowns, I think you take that opportunity. 19 and 20 and 21 aren't that big a difference, but being up 21 is a big difference. Now you're forcing Arizona to kick three extra points to tie or go for two to beat you.
Right. Yeah, that is true, because then if they do score the three times, they – like you said, unless they convert on a two-point conversion on at least one of them, they can't beat you. And again, I liked it. I didn't have any problem with it. I just found it interesting. And to me, it just says how much they trust not only the quarterback, but, you know, quite honestly, the offensive line and all the weapons and all the receivers as well. The defense, Jay, real quickly before we move on to the rest of the NFL. So I was mad at everybody for screaming about DVOA and this, that, and the other thing after the Bengals game. And I said, well, the defense got off the field a couple of times in the first half. I think we discussed this last Tuesday. And, you know, I know they're not good enough. I get it. But at least they forced a couple of Bengals field goals, and that was key in them helping them win the game. And then yesterday, obviously, they go out and put together their best performance, even though it wasn't great. Where do you think this defense is right now at the quarter pole of the NFL season?
I think the improvement they showed last against Arizona was significant now. I mean, Arizona's a pretty good offensive football team. Connor's a hell of a back. And they got Marvin Harrison Jr., the number one receiver in the draft last year, and obviously Kyler Murray, who can extend plays as good as anybody in the NFL, and they shut them down pretty good. You know, the opening drive was a touchdown, and then they didn't score again until, you know, late in the third or whatever it was. So yep. I think getting those stops and allowing Jaden and the offense to pull away and get a big lead is huge. So I was impressed with their defense. I finally saw Allen and Payne make some plays. Mm-hmm. Payne got a half sack. Jonathan got a sack.
Yep.
You know, the fourth and one call that Arizona got a sack on was a head scratcher that, you know, they got a sack on. So just overall, I think guys are participating. I like Wagner. I think he's running the show with a lot of confidence. Still have a lot of concern with the back end, but they didn't really get challenged too much and because the pass rush was a little bit better.
When you say head scratcher on the Arizona fourth and one that Dorrance Armstrong comes from the blind side and sacks Kyler Murray on, you're saying head scratcher that they went for it in that spot or no?
No, if they ran that play, Connor had 100 yards rushing. I mean, he's a big son of a gun, hard guy to tackle. I'd like to try to get the first down. And then they went shotgun also, which was kind of a head-scratcher. You know, if you want to do a play pass under center, maybe a little spider two-wide banana or something like that, Chris. You know what I'm saying? But not a damn Armstrong zip around the edge and sack your quarterback and wait for guys to uncover on drive. And it was a little bit of a weird call.
A little spider two-wide banana, huh?
Yeah.
that's still going to be that's got to be like the all-time play call thing that your brother was known. I mean, Spider. Spider what?
So the Vikings scored on Spider 2 crisscross. So they're still alive and well, my friend.
I love it. Jay Gruden with us. By the way, how's your brother doing? I see he's doing some video stuff, right?
Yeah, he's doing some YouTube stuff and having some fun with it. Still waiting on his, you know, his other stuff to go down. But he's doing good. He's having fun. He's still working in it. Wants to probably get involved in some other way future.
Attaboy. All right. That's good to hear. The Commanders win 42-14 yesterday. Jay Gruden is with us. Again, he's brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. You can follow him on the X at @coach_Jay Gruden. And he's with us usually every Monday at 3. Obviously, we moved around last week's schedule because the Commanders played on Monday night. Last thing on the Commanders that I'll ask you. You know, I used to always bitch and moan about how the NFL would screw you guys scheduling-wise, you know, road Monday night game. I remember in 2014, your first year, we were in Dallas for an overtime road Monday night game, and then back in Minnesota the next week. I thought that was really unfair. They did it again here. I know the team went out to Arizona after the Monday night win. Would you find that, like, problematic, or do you look at that as just a thing and don't worry about it and not even think about it, not even let that seep into your players' brains?
Well, it's hard not to think about it because you got to go through it. Yeah. And the players got to go through it. Coaches, you know, it's hard on the players because it's hard on the body, but it's hard on coaches too. You know, getting the sleep and getting the preparation needed to put a successful game plan together. You got to have your video ready. You got to, you know, to travel and take everything to Arizona. It's a pain in the ass for the video guys. It's a nightmare, you know, so it's just tough from a preparation standpoint for the coaches. And then from a physical standpoint for the players, getting well and getting the necessary treatment to get them ready for the next game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I agree. Glad that's over with. Hopefully it doesn't catch up to them this Sunday against the Browns. Speaking of the Browns, they lost in Las Vegas yesterday. No Devontae Adams, no Max Crosby, no Devontae Diablo for Vegas. They had an early lead, Cleveland. And then they just, I don't know, they just kind of fell asleep. I mean, how do you make heads or tails that we're still here a couple of years later? And, yeah, I know he's had the injuries, and I know he had the suspension. I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's been accurate, Jay, but like, they're not throwing the ball down the field at all. I know their offensive line is banged up, so I'm sure that's a big part of that. How do you put a finger on what's going on in Cleveland, and specifically with Deshaun?
Well, offensive line is one thing. Losing Nick Chubb is a big deal. But the offensive line can't block anybody, and they can't get any running lanes for Ford or their running backs, which, you know, you can't have Deshaun Watson just drop back and throw it 35, 40 times a game. He's a 20 to 24 game attempt guy to be successful, and for him to drop back with limited pass protection is not good for any quarterback, let alone Deshaun Watson. And he's missing throws that he shouldn't miss. And then Amari Cooper drops one, hits him right in the breadbasket, that pops up, and it's intercepted by Vegas. So they got a lot of issues going on at Cleveland, but they got to get their tackles back, and they got to get some kind of running game going to have a chance, because if they can move the ball a little bit and keep their defense fresh, they'll be in every game, because they do have an excellent defense still. Denzel Ward's one of the best corners in the league. Miles Garrett's the best pass rusher, but if they're not playing with a lead and they're always trying to stop the run, Miles Garrett's not the best run defender.
Right.
And obviously Denzel Ward doesn't really do anything against the run either. They need to be in passing situations and let those guys hunt, and they haven't been.
So is that how you would if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you're starting to just quickly think of how to attack the Browns, it's running at Miles Garrett, it's trying to run to the perimeter edges? Is that how you would kind of think an early philosophical part of the game plan would be?
I think his game plan running the ball has been excellent. They do a lot of different ways. They do the inside zone. They did some toss cracks. They get on the perimeter. They got some RPOs. They got some zone reads. So he's got to dial it in pretty good. But their bread and butter right now is the inside zone between the tackles, which, you know, packs everything in there. And then they bounce it outside and do some good things on the perimeter. So I think he's got a good mix of what he does. And you have to this day and age. You can't be one-dimensional in a running game. You got to have different ways to attack. And I think they're athletic enough on the inside where they can pull and do some different things, but they're also physical enough where they can move the line of scrimmage and get some positive runs between the tackles.
Jay Gruden is with us. Ted Britt Automotive Group brings him to us every Monday at 3 right here on the Team 980 and the BetQL guest hotline. So the Jets lost a game in the rain to the Denver Broncos. Jay, I know the Broncos are good on defense. This was a penalty-filled affair. Maybe the rain had something to do with it. Now there's this, you know, like we're trying to figure out the cadence. I know they've had some problems here in Washington with the cadence, but you wouldn't think with a 40-year-old veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, maybe you would have that. Do you buy any of that? Do you blame this on Saleh? Do you blame it on Rodgers? How do you kind of dice this up?
Oh, you got to blame it on players sometimes. You can't keep blaming coaches for false starts. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has always been very, very good with his snap count. He has got more free plays and big plays in his career than any other quarterback that's ever played because of his usage of the snap count. And that just has to be understood with the linemen. They have to understand, hey, we got Aaron Rodgers, that's great, but we had better focus in on the Scott Dank snap count because he's going to use it, and he's going to use it all the time. He's going to be relentless with it. He's going to make sure that he uses every second of the play clock to his advantage by using a snap count, seeing a defensive rotation, trying to get a guy to jump off sides, trying to get a free play, and you just got to be dialed in. And they weren't dialed in yesterday for whatever reason. Before that, they never had a problem, but yesterday they did for some reason.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, you know, and everybody, a lot of people had the Jets as a preseason fan. I mean, people gave up on Denver, and all Denver has gone out. You know, look, it hasn't been pretty. I mean, they throttled Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay to do what they did 2 weeks in a row against, you know, two pretty good teams. You know, really interesting. How about Minnesota, Jay? They hung on for dear life in Green Bay. I think not having the Packers, Jair Alexander, Jordan Love looked rusty for the first three quarters. They came alive late, but here Minnesota is 4-0, and rocking and rolling. And I don't know, Sam Darnold's, like, he didn't play great in the second half, but he sure as hell was great in the first half.
Yeah, they get a good combination going. You know, Aaron Jones doing a good job. They get two really good tackles.
Yeah.
Darius Saul and O'Neal are very, very good. And obviously the weapons on the outside, Addison and Jefferson and this other guy, Jalen Naylor, whatever his name is, he's doing a good job.
Yep.
But defensively, I mean, they're amazing on defense. Brian Flores done a great job. They get you a lot of different ways. They got guys that can do multiple things, rush, drop, cover. They are just putting a lot of pressure on the opposing offense. Jordan Love got going there in the second half, but I think as far as a total team is concerned, they're playing the best football, offense, defense, and special teams right now in the NFL.
And last one for you, the Bucs. Again, they got out to the big start against the Eagles. The Eagles were playing without Devontae Smith and without A.J. Brown. Do you put that on that and say, well, if they would have had those guys, different ball game, maybe a chance to win? Or do you put this on the what seems to be the buzz around the water cooler, if you will, and that is still this like divide and this relationship between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni?
Yeah, I mean, they got to put that to bed. They got to, you know, they somehow figure out ways to leave it open in press conference and all that stuff. They got to make it known that they're together. They've lost three major players, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown. They still had an opportunity to keep it close. But defensively, they got to figure something out. They got to get after the quarterback. Jalen Carter's got to make some plays. He's as good a defensive tackle as there is. They're not getting them one-on-ones enough. Bryce Huff has to show up. He hasn't done anything. The secondary struggled a little bit. So, you know, if you can't just pin it all on Jalen Hurts and the relationship with the head coach, I think it's a total team effort right now is why they're struggling. They got to figure it out.
Jay, good spot as always. Appreciate you. And we'll talk, next Monday after the Browns and the Commanders.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
All right, there you go. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly, Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. We'll come back, take a time out. We don't have Dumb Dumb of the Day today. We have Moron of the Month, and we also have some developments down in Atlanta. Update on that coming up. Next. A little Jackson 5 for you to get you going on a Monday afternoon in the rain. Yes, sir. Coming up, Moron of the Month, not just Dumb Dumb of the Day. We look back at the entire month of September. Maddie's put together a list, and we will choose one unlucky winner. Now, Matt, I know that the national season is over, and for many, baseball season is over. Even though the Orioles play in the ALDS, where the AL, I guess it's the AL wild card, starting tomorrow afternoon. Okay, there's still a smattering of Orioles fans in our listening area, maybe more than a smattering. But I got to say this. I enjoy watching the Braves lose. And I'll also admit this. I mean, I grew up a Mets fan. I don't really root for the Mets anymore. I mean, you know, I'll always wish them well. But I sure am happy to see the developments down in Atlanta. The Braves were up 3-0. I mean, standing ovations and everything for their starting pitcher. And all of a sudden, the Mets go ham sandwich and are up 6-3 with a 6 spot in the 8th inning and are still looking for more. The Mets did diddly poo for 7 innings, and now they put up a 6 spot in game for them, 161 of 162. Now, why this is important, again, if you weren't with us earlier, and I know, again, it is what it is, this is for a playoff spot, this game right here, right now. So the Mets are 6 outs away from clinching a playoff spot if they don't blow it, which they probably will. They're up 6-3 in the top of the 8th. If the Mets win, they're in. The Braves are not eliminated if they lose, but they have to win the second game of the doubleheader this afternoon if they want to get in the playoffs. And if they somehow got swept, assuming the Mets hold on here, then they're eliminated, meaning the Braves. And the Diamondbacks, last year's National League champions, would be in. So that's the story from Atlanta. Again, 6-3, middle of the 8th. We'll see if the Braves can come back. I'm just guessing how things go for the New York Mets. Just when you think, you know, they have it, they'll snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, and the Braves will come back and win, and then the Mets will get swept, and they'll be eliminated, and all of Steve Cohen's billions and billions of dollars will go for naught. I just wanted to bring that up. When we return, we will have cleanup on aisle 3. We'll bounce around a little bit, the NFL and the college football weekend as well. Again, moron of the month to wrap it up before Craig Hoffman takes over at 4 o'clock. Don't forget, Doc Walker joins us in studio tomorrow. So your chance to talk to El Doctor as the Commanders are 3-1. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so yeah, the fallout from that Jets loss to the Denver Broncos, certainly centering on Robert Saleh, but now some cadence issues, 13 penalties, 5 false starts, a problem for the Jets offensive line as fingers are being pointed, if you will, in every direction. Saleh has backed off a couple of comments about Aaron Rodgers' cadence being an issue, so we will see where that goes from here. Meanwhile, tonight, 2 Monday Nighters and 1 right here on the Team 980. It is the Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins. Tennessee looking for their first win of the year, 0-3. Miami on their third quarterback already of the year. Tyler Snoop Huntley will get the start with Tua Tagovailoa and their backup already out. Raheem Mostert not expected to play. Miami is 1-2. That game, again, here on the Team 980, at 7:15 for the pregame coverage, 7:30 the kick. Later on tonight, 8:15 in Motown, it'll be the Detroit Lions at 2-1, looking to hand the Seattle Seahawks their first loss of the year. Meanwhile, over on 106.7 The Fan tonight in Columbus, the Capitals will take on the Blue Jackets, looking for their second preseason win of the year. They're 1-3, puck drop in that one with John Walton and company at 7 o'clock. And we just told you the Mets up 6-3, looking to clinch a playoff spot, heading to the bottom of the 8th at Truist Park in Atlanta. That's what's trending. All right, coming up, we'll finish up the show, clean up on aisle 3, what we haven't gotten to, and as well, Again, instead of Dum Dum of the Day, we celebrate all the Dum Dums into one big hopper. And for the first time, I think, in a while, we've had a little bit of a split. And Maddie and I had kind of different ones. I don't know if he's going to let me win this one or not.
I'll let you win this one, okay, because most of the time you let me.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would just say this. We often say Jaden Daniels is as cool of as a cucumber. This is the time you do not want to have anything to do with a cucumber.
Also, we can confirm, unfortunately for everyone that was hoping and rooting for it, Chris Russell will not be the moron of the month.
Sorry. Sorry to disappoint. I apologize. I really feel bad.
We can just hope for you to do something dumber next month.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to do anything dumb. How about that? You know? I mean, somebody said, I don't know, somebody was busting my chops about the burgundy shirt thing over the weekend. Not just today with JP and B. Mitch and you and everyone else.
Was it Tippy Longfellow?
It was probably that. Yeah, I think it was. And I said, you know, I'm not wearing that burgundy shirt ever again. Not certainly around here. Not in public.
Now I know what to get you for Christmas.
No. You already got me the sweater that I was supposed to wear at 106.7 versus Team 980 Live that I didn't do, which I should do. And I will do around the holidays. But anyway, that's all still to come. First, we got to get to some things that we haven't been able to get to because there's a lot that goes on over the weekend, baby. So we got to try and squeeze in as much as we can. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Oh, yeah, baby. You know what time it is. A little spin-a-rooney around the NFL. A couple of games that we didn't mention with Jay Gruden. And we tried to cover as much of the big games as we could. But Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons win at the buzzer 26-24 over the New Orleans Saints. Younghoe Koo with the game-winning, 58-yard field goal, I believe it was, with 2 seconds left. Yeah, 58-yard field goal after it looked like Kirk Cousins and the Falcons were in a lot of trouble. But they got bailed out a little bit. I thought a good call on a Paulson Adebo, not a Grant Paulson, a Paulson Adebo defensive pass interference penalty. And even though Adebo made a play 2 plays later, and it looked like the Falcons, were going to be in a little bit of trouble because, again, it was 4th and 10, and it set up a 58-yarder. But indoor, man, today's game, 58-yarders are much more commonplace than certainly they used to be. And Koo nailed it. And the Falcons survived at home. Would not have been a good thing to A, lose a division game, B, lose at home for a second straight week and a third time overall. Because remember, they dropped their season opener to the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. So the Falcons now 2-2, Saints 2-2. They lost Taysom Hill midway through this game, and that really hurt them because early in the first half, he had 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 and 5 yards, plus he had a 4th and 1 conversion, did Hill. The versatile do-everything, switchblade, kind of running back, quarterback, whatever, and just a bigger body, obviously. And that really hurt New Orleans' creativity. I should have known this. Derek Carr was going to revert back to, well, being Derek Carr because I picked him up on my fantasy team 2 weeks ago. And since then, he's done a whole bunch of bupkis. Pretty much. 26-24, Atlanta over New Orleans. And another example of how success can be so fleeting in the NFL. The Saints were the talk of the NFL from a overall and from an offensive perspective after 2 weeks with Clint Kubiak. And now all of a sudden they're like, if they don't have Taysom Hill, they're not good. And that's kind of the deal. All right, so the Atlanta Falcons win. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars? They drop to 0-4. They lose a heartbreaker in the final moments of the game as the Houston Texans come from behind. I have not been impressed at all by the Houston Texans so far this year. Dari Agumbawale with the one-yard touchdown pass from C.J. Stroud with 18 seconds left. 24-20, the final score. The Jaguars are 0-4. Doug Peterson snipping at media, who asked him after the game, hey, man, you know, job security, are you worried about it? And after he kind of normally answered it, he was like, it's kind of a weird question. No! No, it's not. No, it's not. You guys sucked after going 8-3 last year. You threw up all over yourselves down the backstretch last year, the final six games of the year. You won one game against a horrible Carolina team. And you're 0-4 this year and 0-2 in the last 5.5 days. Now, again, they played a lot better yesterday. They were in position to win that game and still lost. And once again, like Trevor Lawrence was good in some ways statistically, 2 touchdowns, no picks. But 18 of 33 for a buck 69? Sorry, Jack. That's not what I'm paying you $250 million for. Got to be better than that. If you're looking for a fantasy running back, Tank Bigsby of the Jaguars had 90 rushing yards yesterday and a 58-yarder, and he's got some juice. He's got some speed. Just if you're looking for a fantasy running back, like most of us probably are. Meanwhile, in some of the late action, which I didn't get to see closely. I mean, I did get to see a little bit of the Cleveland-Vegas game. We talked about that. The Sunday nighter, of course, a dominant effort by the Baltimore Ravens. But how about the Kansas City Chiefs? A, winning on the road to go to 4-0, 17-10. And once again, they find a way to just, you know, grind one out. They were down 10-0 in this game. Now, San Diego, Los Angeles did not have Bosa. They didn't have their starting right tackle, Joe Alt. I get it. But Kansas City, without all the pieces that they had, and they lose Rashee Rice in the first half, probably to a season-ending ACL, they still find a way to win. Kareem Hunt back from the dead, 14 carries, 69 yards. Xavier Worthy had a long touchdown pass, 54 yards from Patrick Mahomes. And that's a pretty decent Charger team that's now dropped 2 in a row. Granted, close. And the Chiefs somehow are 4-0. But no Pacheco for at least the next 4 or 5 weeks. No Rashee Rice. They already lost Hollywood Brown for the year. Oh, by the way, Samaje Perine, man. I can't do a good Jay Gruden. Samaje Perine with a touchdown run for the Kansas City Chiefs. That was the game-winning score for undefeated Kansas City at 4-0. And just quickly, and we'll save the rest of the NFL. Maybe we'll do a bunch with Doc tomorrow. From college football over the weekend, everybody probably saw at least the highlights of Georgia and Alabama. So I'm sitting there trying desperately not to fall asleep because I'm an old man. But I'm into it, right? Georgia and Alabama were pretty damn good. Back and forth. And you should have known Alabama kicked their ass in the first half. I think they were up 28-0 at one point. And then you should have known that Georgia was going to wake up and smell the roses a little bit and come back. But, you know, on the road, you never know. Listen. I mean, Georgia and Alabama, I wouldn't say it's like an all-time classic just because of how one-sided it was for a lot of the game. But the last quarter and change, I mean, you're not going to find much more entertaining football than that. Now, I don't know what happened to Georgia in the first half. I don't know. But for Georgia to come back and take that lead, and then to give it up on the very next play, Ryan Williams, who's like 17 years old, making big play after big play. Unbelievable. Number 4, Alabama beats number 2, Georgia in Tuscaloosa. Just a crazy ending to that game. And I'm convinced this, even in the SEC, I don't know how many teams can play good defense anymore. You know, the SEC usually has 2 or 3 teams, usually Alabama and Georgia, that can play really good defense. But against each other, it generally seems to be all-out Donnybrooks. Not all the time, but a bunch of the time. And that's what you were left with Saturday night, trying to clean up that. But I guess a good job out of Alabama for blowing a big lead and then coming right back and then holding on for dear life with the interception in the end zone. And I think the kid that came away with the interception was an 18-year-old true freshman, I believe. So good win for Alabama there as they survive and obviously move forward without the – and listen, the college football playoff is going to allow Georgia to be clearly in it unless, for whatever reason, Georgia loses a couple more games. So that's not the issue. And by the way, what did I tell you, Matt? The Mets are now losing 7-6. I mean, did I not call it or did I not call it? Am I the smartest guy alive or am I the smartest guy alive? So anyway, that's that. Listen, Virginia Tech, God, they lost a heartbreaker on Friday night. I don't think the kid ever had full possession of it. I don't think it should have been ruled a catch, but I was talking to Toby Altizer, who does pre, half, and post for Virginia Tech football, and I was watching it very closely. I don't think the kid ever had full possession, but they ruled it a catch. I have no idea how they overturned it. I know what they said, player out of bounds, touched it, this, that, and the other thing. Again, I thought it was a weird call from the beginning because I don't think Virginia Tech had full possession. Some people agree with that. Some people don't. But once you call it a touchdown or whatever you call it on the field and then say, well, we have to have indisputable evidence to overturn it, I don't know where they got indisputable evidence. I just don't know. That sucks for Virginia Tech because earlier in the game, they got hosed on a long touchdown run on a phantom holding call. So theoretically, Virginia Tech got hosed, screwed, twice by officiating, by replay, by a blown call, wiping out 2 potential touchdowns, and they lose to Miami. And now Miami goes to Cal this Saturday, and they're going to be all fired up, juiced up out there because that's the first time College Game Day is there. Did you realize College Game Day has been to James Madison a couple of times, has never been to College Park, Maryland, has never been to Charlottesville, Virginia in their entire history. 2 of the 3 main big area, not local, big area schools, they've been to Virginia Tech. But no Charlottesville, no College Park, Maryland, and yet they've been to James Madison a couple of times. Interesting. All right, coming up, we will do Moron of the Month. All right, I screwed that up. My bad on that. Sorry, Matt. Coming up, Moron of the Month. Again, you want to be cool as a cucumber. What you don't want to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Is what this guy was with a cucumber. Next on the T980 and the Odyssey app. At this time, we do Dumb Dumb of the Day. But today, because it's the last broadcast day of the month, that's right, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is September the 30th, year of our Lord, 2024. So, we do this, Moron of the Month.
It's been a full month of dum-dums, idiots, and jerks. But yes, only one can be Chris Russell's Moron of the Month.
Yes. This one hits hard because it comes from here in Washington, D.C. Something I hope that nobody has to ever endure and go through. A man caught on video, you may remember this, outside of a woman's home in Washington, D.C., as seen in video footage, is seen squeezing through a gap in a fence and then, well, finding another gap. Taking a cucumber out of a lunchbox in her driveway and then on camera with an unlit cigarette in his mouth, he puts the cucumber into the grill of the car.
What?
Lowers his pantaloons, bends over,
beep beep,
and says, "Give it to me, Daddy."
Cue the fool said it already sold.
Yes, the cucumber where the sun don't shine.
Let's ride.
On video. And then looks to see if there's video. Goes around to the other side near the stoop of the home and does it again.
Brian Gass.
As the story says, he resumes pummeling his posterior with the produce. I mean, that is an all-time line. Oh, baby. They haven't found the guy yet. Every story that I see, they hadn't found him initially. They haven't found him yet, and it's been weeks. It was near a D.C. high school in the northwest area of D.C. My goodness.
Put up somebody's ass.
My goodness. Boys and girls, one lesson. Please, wash your cucumbers. Wash your cucumbers, just in case this guy's gotten his hands on them.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
I hope none of you have to deal with that, but I mean, that's... I don't make this stuff up. Anyway, wow. So that's our Moron of the Month. By the way, this game is insane. The Mets have taken the lead back again. Francisco Lindor with a 2-run home run, and it's now 8-7 Mets in the top of the ninth inning. Holy moly. They'll blow it again shortly. Greg Hoffman coming up next. Enjoy the rest of Victory Monday. Back tomorrow at 1 with the DOC. Adios.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.